Let's welcome in our first guest here, 8 past the hour, State Senator Mike Jacobson with us. Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
I am excellent. Thanks for being in here with us. Did you have a good weekend?
I did. It was really good. Nice weather. Gosh, that was nice. And I got to tell you, it's nice. I keep comparing to where I was a year ago at this time.
Okay.
And health-wise, I feel great. I really do. I probably haven't felt this good in 3 or 4 years. I'm walking really quite well now. Some days better than others, but that's the only thing that seems to lag a little bit. But I really feel good, and it's been quite a journey. I think most people know when I was first elected to the legislature, I was in 22, and I had a PET scan done prior to starting the session in 23, and I was diagnosed with metastatic melanoma. And so I've been on some form of treatment the entire time I've served in the legislature. And, you know, it is amazing. People ask, why are we doing all this cancer research? They haven't found a cure. Well, they have found cures for many forms of cancer, but most importantly, they found treatments that curb the growth of the cancer, stop the growth of the cancer, and in many cases they are able to eliminate it. And that's where I'm at. We eliminated it once, it mutated and came back. I went on a different medication. That's been incredibly effective. No side effects, and so I feel great.
Well, that's great. That's great to hear. Best of luck continuing forward on that as well.
Thank you.
State legislature, let's talk about it. What do you have going on here?
It is definitely the quiet period. I will tell you, the first week after the legislature adjourned, I don't know how many people were in their offices. When I talk about people, very few state senators were in their offices. They went back home, and as they should, but their staffs also took some time off. And now I want to point out, Christina's listening. Christina was there, okay, because that's her job,
sure.
And she's going to be there for the calls. And so I a shout out for Christina. But I will tell you that it's. As the summer moves on, we will see more and more people spending time in their offices, really working on work for next year. It is an election year, and so you've got to focus on reelection, but you really also have to focus on having confidence that you can be reelected and that you want to be ready to go for next year and getting bills ready. And so it does take time to do it. I'm very pleased. I counted up here again the other day. I believe I've introduced 27 bills since I've been there, and out of those bills, I believe 19 of them were passed.
Wow!
And there were a handful of them that I didn't intend to pass. They were so-called shell bills. I feel really good about. At the end of the day, it's not the quantity of bills you offer. It's how good are the bills and how effective are you at getting them passed. And I've always had a great staff. Tori Osborne's my LA, and she does an outstanding job. And together we make a really good team.
Well, you're batting over 500. That's pretty good.
It is good. And I guess when I compare that, I'm probably one of the top in terms of those getting bills through and getting them done. And I will tell you, when that happens, you tend to have a lot of people who want to bring you bills that they want passed. I think we're very selective about the bills that we take.
Well, you probably have to be. I mean, and I would imagine there's a number of senators who probably introduce far too many, knowing these are not going to get through.
Right.
Run out of time, number one.
Right. Well, one of the things we did a couple of years ago, which was very controversial, is we put a 20-bill limit.
Okay.
We said you can't introduce more than 20 bills in any one session. Now, to put this into perspective, there were like 1,250 bills introduced in the last biennium. The last 2 years, there were like 1,250 bills offered, introduced. Okay, how many were signed by the governor? About 300. Okay, about 300. So what are we doing? Yeah. So when the governor gets on his radio program and says we're offering way too many bills, he's exactly right. You know, we're still having people. We had some senators that were offering 50, 60 bills each for each session. So they're offering 100 bills in a two-year session. Now, I'm sorry, but those are not 100 good bills.
Right.
There's a lot of garbage there. And I think at the end of the day, if we would focus our time more on bills that are going to make a difference in the lives of our constituents and less on just minutia, we'd be better off. I also think that as a committee chair, I get a little frustrated because we have committee hearings and you're going to have one or two members of the committee that have to leave during your committee hearing because they're going to a different committee to introduce right. a bill. Now, I'm guilty of that too. I have to go to other bills, other committees to introduce my bill, and I've got to have someone else take the chair while I'm gone. But if you've got more than 20 bills to introduce, you're gone too much.
Sure.
And I think that's one of the factors that influenced me on saying, yeah, we need to have the 20 bill limit. I'm still not sure that 20 bills is restrictive enough. Because at the end of the day, you can find others. I know Teresa, our Christy Armendariz, I think she was in the legislature for 2 years and introduced 7 bills in her 2 year period of time. So, actually she's been there 4 years and introduced 7 bills, I believe, in that time frame. So she's looked at it a lot differently. The bills she brought were meaty bills. They were good bills, but she wasn't one. She didn't really like moving bills, didn't like that part of the job. She liked more being on the Appropriations Committee and digging into it and digging into the meat of the issues. We're going to miss Christy. She's decided not to run for a second term, but she was an effective senator for us on the Appropriations Committee.
Well, I assume the less you have, the more focus you have, the more passion you have for those, then, and your passion drives the bill,
to start,
at least, right?
It does, and everybody wants to move their bill through. I think I'd like to think that everybody believes in the bill that they brought, or they wouldn't bring it. I don't know that that's always the case.
Right, because you mentioned earlier that other people will bring bills to you, thinking right. you can get it passed.
Right. Yeah, that is true. I will tell you that the lobbyists are not stupid.
Sure.
They've had a constituent of theirs or a client of theirs who say, I want this bill passed. Well, then what they've got to do is they first have to find a state senator who can logically move the bill and who would be willing to move the bill. And that becomes a challenge at times. I would tell you that depending upon, you know, when you start selecting who you're going to have carry a bill, think about what committees do they serve on. If I have a bill that, or if there's a lobbyist that has a bill that they need to get through the banking committee, getting a member of the banking committee to carry that bill gives them a leg up. I would also say that a member of the banking committee that has some sway on the floor will give them a huge leg up.
Sure.
And so you'd start there, but then you got to get them convinced to carry it. And for me, as I have people bring me bills, they've looked at the track record and they've said, yeah, this is who I want to carry the bill. The question is, for me, is how's this going to really impact District 42?
Right.
Because first and foremost, that's who I work for. And I would tell you that probably one of the most, since I've been down there, probably the most impactful bill was LB 1087. That was the bill that was carried a couple of years ago that provided access to approximately $1 billion, with a B, of federal Medicaid funding that came to the state of Nebraska for rural hospitals that are, and I say rural hospitals, that also help the med center, anyone who are treating Medicaid patients You got a reimbursement based upon the number of Medicaid clients that you saw. Now, when you're treating Medicaid patients, your reimbursements are much lower than what they are with someone who's got insurance. Mm. So there are people who won't see Medicaid patients. Right. In North Platte, if we took the tack that we weren't going to, the doctors weren't going to see Medicaid patients, they wouldn't see anybody hardly. So I would tell you this was a big thing for rural Nebraska in particular. I know of a couple of hospitals that are open today because this bill passed. That's very gratifying. And I would tell you that's $1 billion that came to the state's economy that wasn't here before, and it didn't cost the Nebraska taxpayer anything. There, I believe there were 42 other states that had already passed this and have had it in place for several years. But Governor Pillen was the only governor who was willing to allow that bill to be passed and sign that bill. And the ones previous were feeling that they did not want to take federal money. My deal's fairly simple, that we're all paying in federally. If 42 other states are taking the money,
well, yeah, why aren't we?
And we're not, I asked on the mic, who's the chump here, okay? Right. So at the end of the day, we should get our fair share. We now are. I thank Governor Pillen for having his willingness to support the bill. And I also thank Congressman Mike Flood, who was very instrumental in the 11th hour to get the red tape cut through at the federal level with CMS, so that this bill literally got approved. Our plan got approved about a week before One Big Beautiful Bill passed. Had we not done this before One Big Beautiful Bill, we would not have been grandfathered in, and all this work would have been for naught. So a huge shout out for Congressman Mike Flood and his work on that as well. But Governor Pillen was a big part of this, and I really want to publicly thank him.
Is that reoccurring then? Is that
yes, that's annually.
Okay.
Now we will see this drop off because of the One Big Beautiful Bill. So we've got 5 years have in place. So we're going to have to continue to find other ways to fund this, but we're going to be able to keep a lot of rural hospitals open. I know one in particular who now is converted to an emergency-only hospital who would have just flat closed had this money not come through. So I didn't realize how significant this was to rural hospitals until I really spent more time with Ivan Mitchell and understanding just the impact that it would have. And so I was really proud to carry the bill. I'm happy that it got passed. And I really want to thank all my colleagues who got out behind it and supported the bill. I think I had well over 40 votes to pass it in the end. And so it was a hugely popular bill in the end.
State Senator Mike Jacobson here with us on our Monday morning meeting, 8:21 here on Mugs in the Morning. So you this is off-season time. What's the next mark on the timeline sheet here for this summer?
Well, there are a couple interim studies that will be conducted. I think one of them of note is I did bring an LR that called for an interim study on the Tourism Commission. It's been coming under attack again. There are a lot of state senators who still remember the slogan, Nebraska, it's not for everyone. There are a lot of people that have a really strong memory on that. Yeah. Now, I will tell you that the campaign did get attention.
Sure.
Okay. But there are so many people that don't agree with the kind of attention that we got. So they were pushing to move tourism under the Department of Economic Development. And what I should say is back under the Department of Economic Development. I believe it was in 2019 that there was a bill brought to split it out and create a separate commission for tourism. And the reason they did that was because when it was under DED, their focus was simply Lincoln and Omaha. Well, that puts my radar up when I start hearing that, well, what about us?
Right.
Okay. And so I am very concerned. That is my biggest concern about ever allowing it to go back to that. The tourism, by the way, is funded through occupation taxes charged by hoteliers. So when you stay in a motel, you pay an occupation tax, and that money goes to fund tourism. So I'm concerned, and I think most hoteliers would be concerned, that they want to be able to have people across the state on a tourism commission that has representatives throughout the state that make certain that these funds get promoted across the state.
Sure.
And so that rural Nebraska gets their piece. And I think Passport Nebraska is one of the classic examples of something that they did that gets attention. A lot of it is in-state people, but we have people out of state. But I don't care where people come from to come out and visit rural Nebraska. But I know there's a lot of people from Lincoln, Omaha, who come out here and said, wow, I've never traveled out here. Wow, the sand hills, that is an incredible treasure for our state. And it's like, yeah, you're right, it is. I've known about that for some time. I'm glad you finally got out here to see it.
Well, and the funds are being collected out here as well.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Why are we going to collect those funds and then watch it all be spent in Lincoln and Omaha? Now, I get it. I have changed my attitude a little bit investments in Lincoln and Omaha that you can see statewide improvements. I think investments in the Med Center are a good example of, we've spent a lot of money on the Med Center, but I will tell you that many of our doctors and nurses are trained both initially and in service at the Med Center. They've built clinics out on this part of the state. Look at the presence in Kearney. So the Med Center is another treasure in Nebraska that we need to maintain, and we should fund that statewide. But I also believe that we need to make brick-and-mortar investments out here, and we need to make investments in people out here.
State Senator Mike Jacobson here on this Monday morning. Anything else this morning you want to touch on?
Just having fun. I got my new grandson. He's 3 months old now.
Oh, congrats on that.
And this kid is really active. He's in a smiling phase now. So now you hold him up and look at him, and he smiles at you. Now, I will tell you that I told you about Tori. Tori's going to be getting married this summer.
Okay.
And Tori had a bridal shower. And so when Mary went to the bridal shower, a trip was invited. So Mary took Trip with her. And he was there smiling at all the ladies at the bridal shower. Now, I don't know whether that took away from the bride at all, but I will tell you that he was a big hit.
Star of the show.
Charming all the gals that were at the bridal shower. So he's quite the kid. He's really something. And it is amazing. We waited a long time for grandchildren. And, you know, if I knew the grandchildren were going to be this great, I probably would have skipped the kids and gone right to the grandkids.
Well, logically, there's a fault in that. But I get your point. You know, it's funny you mentioned that because, and I don't know, it probably isn't to this level at the state Senate, but Ben Sass, of course, he had a great interview with Scott Pelley of CBS News. And I was just talking to my mother about this yesterday about, you know, so many national senators, that's their number one, and it should be number six and seven, whereas number one should be your family and having kids and being a dad. And
he put a real spotlight on that. He really has. I would make one other comment that I mentioned. Tori's getting married. She's getting married during Nebraska Land Days, and so she's not going to be here for Nebraska Land Days because she's going to be on her honeymoon in Hawaii.
She chose that over Nebraska.
Well, that's why I asked her. I said, what are you doing? And she said, well, I was wondering if you guys could move Nebraska Land Days. And I said, well, I can go to work on that. I'm not sure that I can get that done. But you're going to miss Nebraska Land Days for your wedding? I mean, come on. Yeah. So, but I guess I talked to her again the other day, and she's still set on keeping the wedding date. So, you know, what do you do?
Well, it could be on a Saturday in September and October.
That is true.
Those aren't very popular either.
That is true.
All right, very good. Thank you for stopping by again this morning. Best of luck here in this off season at the state legislature, all right?
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
That's State Senator Mike Jacobson.